This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 65.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking to some business owners who are just brilliant at getting media coverage. They're called the Merrymaker Sisters. They're from Australia, and they are going to share their best tips and strategies for getting in magazines and newspapers and radio and TV. And what's brilliant about them is that they're just really gutsy about it, basically. They see a publication they want to be in, they see a program they want to be on, and they just reach out. And they've got some great, great tips and stories to share with you. And I think you're going to need pen and paper for this one, or whatever you use to take notes, because you're going to get loads of really great ideas. But before we get to the main part of the show, just wanted to mention a couple of things. So first off, the Soulful PR Podcast is up for an award. I mentioned this in the last episode. But if you're listening on the day this episode goes out, which is June the 10th, Friday, June the 10th, 2016, this is your last day to vote. And I'm up for the Soulful PR Podcast, I should say, is up for the best UK podcast of the year, which is pretty amazing considering we've only been around since last November. And you can vote on Twitter, and the decision will be made is a combination of how many votes you get on Twitter, but also an independent panel of judges will have a listen to the podcast as well. And obviously, the more votes I can get, the better. If you voted already, that's fine. You can do it again today. You can vote as many days as you want, not numerous times or on one day. And I'll put a link in the show notes to that. So thank you for your support. The second thing I wanted to mention is that my book is out on July the 7th. So it's coming up very soon. It's called Your Press Release is Breaking My Heart, a totally unconventional guide to selling your story in the media. And it basically takes you through everything you need to do, not only to get great press coverage, but also go a little bit deeper. So how to get a regular column, how to do radio and TV interviews, how to even get speaking gigs or how to pitch guest content, how to deal with a media crisis, how to even hire a PR company if you decide you don't want to do it yourself. So everything you really need to know about doing PR for your business or brand, it's all in this book. And it's all the stuff that I share in my blog post and on my podcast. It's all the best content, all put in a kind of really... I spent a lot of time thinking about what order to put things in and what led logically to the next thing. So it's almost like a mini course in a book, and I'm really, really excited about it. So I'll put a link in the show notes as to how you can pre-order a copy of that. So I guess now on with the main part of the show. So I've got two guests joining me today on the show. I've got Emma and Carla Pappas, aka the Merrymaker Sisters, who also happen to be real-life sisters. Now, they describe themselves as health and happiness advocates and passionate health coaches on a mission to merrymake all over the world. Isn't that amazing? And they're also absolutely ace at getting press coverage for their business, which is why I've invited them on the show today. Now, I met them both at Tropical Think Tank, a five-day business mastermind in the Philippines, which is organised by Chris Ducker. You've probably heard me talk about it on the show before, and I interviewed Chris in episode 19. And I found them to be just as charming and fun in person as they seem online. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Yay! Thank you so much for having us, Janet.
Yeah, we're super excited to be here.
And did I pronounce your surname right? Because I always worry about that.
Yeah. Well, it's like Pappas, but like it doesn't, like everyone gets it wrong. Like we get like Papas.
It's not really wrong. It's just like different accents pronounce it different, I think. Okay. But it's always fun. We like it.
We always have a little giggle.
Well, we have Papa's ice cream, like it's like an Italian ice cream place here. And so I was unsure, and I was going to ask you before, but then I forgot, as I often do. So.
It was perfect. You did well.
So it'd be great if you could start just by telling us a little bit about you and your business.
Yeah. Well, I guess like I'll start with just like the story of how we sort of began. And it was back in about 2012. And we were just two very, very different people. We were in jobs we absolutely hated, living lives that we just weren't really happy in. I mean, we were obsessed with dieting and exercising. And the biggest concern for us was losing weight and always trying the next fad diet, always slugging away at the gym. And I think like we just got to a point where it was like, there has to be another way of living. Like we have like a whole life ahead of us. This isn't going the way we want it to go. And that was when I, and it's Emma, by the way, discovered I had a gluten intolerance.
Right.
And I kind of went down this Google wormhole of like searching gluten and whatever and all these articles popping up. And then I think someone at work told me about this real food way of living. And then someone at the gym told me about it too. And then I got a random email about it from, I think, Mark's Daily Apple. And it was kind of like the primal paleo with real food sort of spun into it. And we both started eating that way. And our whole lives just like changed in literally like 4 weeks. It was just amazing. Like more energy, brain fog disappeared. We lost a little bit of weight in 4 weeks without even trying. And we're like, oh, we're onto something here. And we just felt better.
Yeah. And it was like the biggest change was like the mindset switch, because our lives had been so controlled and our minds had been so controlled by the food we were eating or what we had eaten prior, like feeling guilty or anxious about what we were going to eat next. This real food way of living like alleviated that, and it was just this big weight off our shoulders, and we just felt really good and really happy. So I, which is Carla now, started sharing photos on my personal Instagram account, and it was just like of recipes and things we were creating, and we were hashtagging like gluten-free and grain-free and sugar-free. And people started asking us questions about it and saying like, why are you eating this way? How did you make that? Can you share that recipe with us? And one day we just were like, wow, like people are interested in this stuff and we're kind of passionate about it. Maybe we could put it somewhere on the internet so people could go and find it. And like at this time, we had no idea about blogging, no idea about online business. We were working in the government still, and we were just sharing this stuff on Instagram. So one day we decided to Google how to start a blog, and that was another Google wormhole. And we just started learning everything that we could. And as soon as we hit publish on that first ever blog post where we were kind of just sharing our story, we knew we'd found this new passion. So we had this passion for healthy living, as well as this passion for content creation and just sharing our story. And it was like these two amazing things combined. And we were just so energized and excited by it. So by this time, it was about mid-2013, and we knew that we wanted to do this thing full-time. So we set the goal that we were going to be able to merrymake full-time by the end of 2014, and we had no idea how we were going to do it, but we just were like, no, we have to set this goal. We want to do it. We want to achieve this. And so we just learned everything we could. We implemented. We took action. We tried new things in the business, and then by mid-2014, we were able to quit our jobs and do it full-time. And I think a story like I love to tell is Merrymaker, like what does that mean? Because people are always like, why are you called the Merrymaker sisters? Like, I don't know. What does it mean? And we just say like the word merrymake means to bring joy to. So this newfound lifestyle just brought us so much joy, and we're real life sisters. So that's the story behind that. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of our business journey. And then I just, since we quit our jobs, like we just haven't looked back.
Yeah. And I guess like, you know, our business, like the goal is to that everyone comes on our site or uses our digital products or joins our club and they leave healthier and happier. That's the goal.
Yeah, they have an action step to take. They're like, they feel empowered and energized, and that it's going to be fun to do this.
Wow. And I just love the fact that you created this business from something that was, well, I don't love it for you, that you created it from your struggle. But you know what I mean? Like lots of big businesses, they start that way, don't they? That you're struggling with something. And I think most of us can identify with what you're saying. I mean, certainly I struggled as a teenager in my 20s. I struggled with my weight. And actually in my case, I discovered, I've probably never talked about this before. It's probably the first time I've ever shared this. But I discovered intuitive eating, which was basically ditching diets and just kind of eating when you're hungry, stopping when you're full, eating the kind of foods that feel good to you and, you know, not eating them. And since I discovered that, which was basically ditching diets, I've been like a stone and a half lighter, much happier, much healthier. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of really worked for me. But for you, you started with paleo, didn't you? Is that right?
Yeah. So it was, we discovered this paleo way of living. And I guess like back in 2012 in Australia, it wasn't even, it wasn't mainstream at all. It was kind of like, what the heck is this paleo thing? And we ate that way for, like, I guess we didn't, it wasn't 100% of the time, but we sort of like, what's the word, recognized that we lived a paleo lifestyle for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And then it was probably 6 months ago where we were like, okay, like we're not really feeling this paleo way of living because it's kind of got really bad rap in the media. Like heaps of negative stuff was going on. And we were also eating things like rice and corn, which isn't strictly paleo. And we just didn't want to be referred to as those paleo sisters. And like be known as just recipe girls, because that's kind of what people thought and assumed. But really, we knew that we were so much more, and we needed to make a change publicly to like change people's views.
Yeah, and their perceptions, because the Merrimack sisters, like, even though it started with food and movement, like, we also had this kind of bliss message of like finding what you love and doing what you love, even if it is just for 5 minutes of your day. So we really are passionate about that, and we wanted to bring more of that story into the Merrimaker sisters. So yeah, we made that decision to kind of quit, and I put that in inverted commas, paleo, and we wrote a blog post about it about 6 months ago, and that actually got quite a lot of media attention, and we didn't even mean it to happen. It just was because the content was so relevant that people were really interested in it.
And you ended up being in the Daily Mail, because I think before I came to Tropical Think Tank, I was looking up people that were going to be there, and I actually read that article before I met you at Tropical Think Tank, and I was like, oh, that's genius. Like, that's just such great. But you didn't even try to get that press coverage, did you? They just kind of picked up on your blog.
We didn't try and get press coverage. I mean, the goal was to get more of our people to see it and to like it and to share it. So,
and that happened.
And that definitely happened. And I mean, like, we kind of did a cheeky little headline where, you know, the headline was,
We quit paleo.
Why we're quitting paleo. And I mean, really, we did quit it, but we do eat a very similar way. It's just less strict. It's like,
it's less stress.
It's just like real food, like, without being like, you know what, if we eat legumes one day, we're not going to beat ourselves up. If we eat corn chips, that's okay. If we eat chickpeas, that's all right. So it's just kind of a more relaxed way eating. You know, that intuitive eating as well, like knowing what makes you feel good and eating those foods. But yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like, the next day, our local newspaper called us and we're like, we need to interview, blah, 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 blah. Can we come over and get a photo?
Yeah.
And they were so cheeky though. They were like, oh, do you mind like having some big cake, like a cake in your photo? Or what about drinking some wine in the photo? And we're like, no. Like, we're pretty proud of ourselves, because it's a big thing when like journalists come over and the cameramen are like, I envision this. And you're like, no, that's not me at all.
Yeah.
So we were like, we're putting our feet down. No, we don't want to do that.
Yeah. And so that was just in our local Canberra Times. And then I think it got syndicated like across Australia. And then we just saw like all these people just started picking it up, one of them being the Daily Mail. And we just, I remember someone sent me a screenshot and it's like, you're next to Justin Bieber.
Oh, that's amazing. That's certainly a claim to fame, isn't it? And for those people who don't know paleo, I think most people know paleo, but can you just quickly kind of explain the principles of the paleo diet?
Yeah, well, it's kind of based on like how ancestors used to live, and that's where the paleo word comes from, like paleolithic lifestyle. And basically it's like no grains, no gluten, no dairy, no legumes, no refined sugars, no corn. So like it's quite it sounds quite restrictive. And that's also one of the reasons why we moved away from it, because we're all about adding more good to your life, adding more good to your plate. And paleo just, it was all about the nose.
And I think like it was a great starting point for us, and it will always be a part of our story. It's kind of like a reset, but then it's great to like, you know, get more in tune with yourself, move on to the foods that actually nourish you and make you feel awesome.
Yeah.
And like that will be different. Like my perfect diet is different to Carla's perfect diet, is different to your perfect diet, Janet. So like we're all different, and the foods make us feel better, worse. So it's just great to be in tune with yourself.
I'm just remembering a moment from when we were at Tropical Think Tank, actually, when you two were talking to Amanda, who has the Wellpreneur podcast, which is a great podcast, by the way, Amanda Cook. And you were saying, oh, we really fancy some chocolate. And I was like, oh, I've got mini eggs in my room. And Amanda was like, no, not that kind of chocolate. Like, we mean proper chocolate. And I was like, oh, okay, because you're all like health coach type people. And I was there like going to get my mini eggs.
Cacao.
Do you have mini eggs in Australia, actually? Are they just like a British thing?
Are they like little Easter mini eggs? Easter eggs?
Yeah, like little.
We have those.
And that was pretty funny. But yeah, we're all about the sugar-free, raw cacao chocolate. We were like, why didn't we bring our stash of chocolate? Next time we have to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so what I wanted to do is like kind of get you to talk a little bit about your journey with the press, because you worked in communications, didn't you? Not specifically in PR, if I remember rightly, but you worked in comms, so you were kind of in that kind of media space. Can you tell us about when you first thought, okay, I'm going to start reaching out to the media, and how you went about doing that?
Yeah, so I actually studied public relations. So like prior to my government job, like I was doing lots of kind of internship style stuff with PR. And so I really understood it, and I really understood the power of PR. And I think it was really early on in our business journey. It was, would have been, when did we get that first?
It
would have been
2013.
2013, July, I think 2013, sorry. So it was February, March, April, May, June, 4 months into like when we were serious about the Merrymaker Sisters that we were like, we can get media coverage for this. We need to share our story like further and wider. And I knew that like getting in like a print mag sort of style thing, it does a lot for like your, like how you're perceived. And I know you talk about this all the time, Janet. So we literally, one day I just sat down and I found like our local weekly magazine called City News. And I just opened it up and I was like, who's the editor? Oh, wait, there's an email address. I'm just going to email them. Emailed the editor and I was like, hi, like my name's Carla and I have this blog with my sister. And I just like told our story pretty much in 2 paragraphs. And I was like, I'd love to share our story with you. And they came back to us straight away and they're like, yes, like we want to share your story. We couldn't believe it. Like this was the first time we'd ever kind of gone out to any media. They came over and did a photo shoot. We cooked them food. So we were like, how can we like make this amazing for the people who are coming over to our house? There was like one journalist and 2 cameramen. So we were like, we got to make the most of it. So we ended up making them like 2 cakes and some crackers and stuff. And they loved that. So they actually ended up taking photos of the food as well as us, putting recipes in the magazine as well as our story. So we kind of just went above and beyond with that and we ended up getting on the front cover.
Wow. And what I love about that is that you said, oh, well, we didn't really think about it. But basically, you gave a local publication what a local publication wants. They want, you know, local people doing interesting things, basically. And so you gave them exactly what they want. And, you know, it sounded like you didn't spend ages on it. You just kind of, you know, opened the magazine, said, oh, look, you know, got the email address, sent it off, which is, you know, we've talked about this before, but I think people go around the houses and they spend a lot more time on this than they actually need to. You just gave them what they needed, which was an interesting story about, you know, about local people.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of like this fear that we sometimes put in our heads is that, like they'll say no, but it's like people are screaming for content, really. Like if your idea for the media is good, they're going to put you in. So it's just about coming up with a good angle, I think.
And our angle for that one was just kind of exactly what you said, Janet, like local sisters like trying to do something different.
And that's what I say for local. When people say, you know, they're struggling to get local media, I'm just like, you know, local people doing interesting things, that's going to be like a dead cert for you know. I've been talking recently how do you have Park Run in Australia, the weekly timed runs in parks? Do you have that?
Maybe, but I think we do.
I think it's not as widespread as here, and obviously because it's such a big country. But basically, we have this thing at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. If you go up and down the country, there'll be one in like most towns. You know, in most towns, and you can turn up. It's a 5K run. We have like, you know, pretty much like pro people taking part in it, doing in kind of like, you know, 17 minutes or whatever and less probably. And then, you know, you have people like old people walking around and people on mobility scooters and everything. It's also this great thing. But there was a proposal at my local park run a few weeks ago. Some people that I knew, and this guy got down on one knee just before the race was about to start and proposed to his girlfriend, and they both volunteer at the park run as well as taking part. And as soon as I heard about it, I wasn't even there actually. I missed it that week. And I was like, oh my God, that's just like an amazing local news story. It's great PR for Park Run. And I sent an email off. I just said, I sat on it for 24 hours because I didn't want them to think I was like, you know, just like obsessed with getting in the media. and then I Facebooked them. I couldn't help myself. And I was like, oh God, like this is just such great PR for Park Run. And, you know, would you be up for it? Because I'm sure the local press would be interested. All I did was I sent an email saying, would you be interested in doing a piece on the proposal at this Park Run? You know, again, local story, you know, local people doing something interesting or different. Mm. And they got back straight away. They were on the radio. They were in the local paper. They sent a photographer. And it was like that easy, because it's just like when you know what people are interested in, you give it to them, they're just like, yeah, great, that's, you're solving me a problem, you know. And and I just saw it, and as soon as I saw it, I had to practically sit on my hands, because I was like, oh my God, that would be so good PR. But you know, and now they're gonna get they were going to get married at Park Run, but they're not now because they can't.
Oh my God.
But they're actually going to do a kind of Park Run type thing where everybody dresses up like a wedding breakfast, which I'm all over it. And as it's a community thing, you know, I'm doing it as a kind of pro bono thing. But that's awesome. The thing, you know. So can you tell us, I'm going off about my little stories again, but can you tell us a little bit more about where you went from there? So you kind of almost like that almost surprised you. So what did you do next?
Yeah, well, then I think when that happened, I was like, I've always been like really keen to get us in the media, and I've always just had kind of my finger on the pulse where we can share like maybe even just a quote or our expertise sort of thing. So I literally like I keep on top of our magazines. Like I get the magazines, I buy them, the ones that we want to be in. I check out the newspapers and the even blogs and stuff like that. So I think that's like a big thing that we make sure that we do. So I guess from there, like we went to our, so that was a local magazine. Then we wanted to go to our local newspaper and we randomly made friends with one of the journalists at the Canberra Times.
Yeah, it was really funny. We were actually meeting this PT, a trainer. She was like, I would love to meet you girls. Like I saw, actually, I think she saw us in that other public, that local magazine. She was like, I want to meet you. You girls are doing awesome stuff. So we met her and she randomly invited her friend who had just got a job in the local Canberra Times newspaper. Like literally she was starting next week and we were like, oh my gosh, this is just fate. We are going to be best friends. We love her. She's hilarious. We like got on like a house on fire. Not so like, and not so much the PT trainer. It was really quite funny, but it was like fate, we thought. And then we just like kept catching up with her. And like, of course she wanted to write about us because she got like the insider kind of story.
It was like she was on our side as well. Like she wanted to share the real positives. At this time, Paleo was just starting to get some negative flack in the media. So she wanted to do a story about the positives because she'd also had a positive experience with Paleo. So she was writing about her personal story. And then she brought in us as well to write about our story. So we ended up being again on the cover of the Food and Wine magazine in the Canberra Times. And again, that was because we just like built that rapport with this journalist. We became friends with her and there was just, she just randomly had the story idea. And then she was like, oh, put two and two together. Here are my paleo experts. I'm going to get them in.
Yeah. There. And it's amazing what like, I guess, because the food factor, I mean, again, we cooked a bunch of recipes. It looked amazing. So that's why we were on the cover
because there was this big chocolate cake
and then us holding it. Yeah. Like it was an adorable photo. And then of course it got syndicated across all the Australian big newspapers. So it was in the Sydney paper, the Melbourne paper, the Brisbane paper. So it was really cool. And like the best bit is that you see a direct spike in website hits too. And like, that's our business. The more hits we have on our site, the better. So like that one article caused a massive draw card to our site. Mm-hmm. We got new signups and it was just the best. So there's just so much, like not only does it like raise your profile, but you also get more visitors to your site and more potential clients.
Yeah. And then from there, we kind of were like, well, what can we do next? Like what could be sort of our story where we can be more proactive? So it was mid last year where we had self-published our hard copy book. And we were like, okay, this is like an amazing media opportunity where these online people who just think we're online and we're bringing it offline, like what could be the angle? And we were like, well, that's the angle, like this online world going offline. So we actually like devised like a press release and we sent it out across like to all different medias in Australia. And again, like the Canberra Times picked that one up. I think that was when Women's Fitness heard about us first. And then 3 months down the track, they asked us to come in a sisters feature where they were featuring four groups of sisters who are in the health and wellbeing world who have businesses together. And that again was like a monthly magazine all across Australia. And that was a one-page spread with a photo shoot and article all about our business.
And that's so interesting. You've said so many things that I want to pick up on there. So the sisters angle, like if I was working with you, I'd be totally like, you've got to work that sisters story because it's that sort of thing. People are really interested in, you know, I saw something you posted on your Facebook page or in your account the other day, which was like a picture of you two holding hands by the beach. And it was like, oh, people say, what's it like to work with your sister? But everybody's really curious about it. You know, like I've got a brother, but if we had to work with each other for like, you know, 30 seconds, we'd probably like kill each other. And so that's something that people are really interested in, you know, just that whole sibling thing.
Everyone asks about it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is what people ask about is generally what the media are going to be interested in.
Yeah.
And a couple of other things you said, which are really interesting. The photograph thing is so, so important. Like you've mentioned it loads of times that actually because you had stuff that was great to photograph, then the media are going to be, you know, a photograph can sell a media story or some photographs can. And the other thing I thought was really interesting that you said was about the relationship with the journalist. Like this is why I'm always banging on to people about getting out and meeting journalists, because you get that common ground. So I wrote a piece for The Independent last week about premature, there was this new research out about premature babies and how they grow up and I mean unemployed, or there's always stuff coming out like this because my daughter was born 3 months early.
Yeah, I saw that article that you wrote.
So basically the editor, who I kind of know of old, but you know, I don't know her very well, but I kind of know her and she's spoken at some of my events actually. She was born prematurely. So when that story came out, she was really interested in it because it, you know, she was born prematurely and she, you know, and we've had conversations about it before. And so that was what I thought of when you mentioned the paleo thing, you know. So this journalist, she was genuinely interested in paleo. So she wanted to write about it anyway. And then you came along, and that's why it's just so important to actually get out and meet journalists in person, because when you find those little bits of common ground, and then they're interested in something that you're doing. You know, it's human nature. They're going to kind of want to cover it if they're interested in a particular, you know. And so I thought it was just such a good point on that. And what did you do after that then? So obviously that I mean, also the other point you actually made there was just about the impact on you know, the spike in your website sale. I had an email from someone yesterday actually saying that she didn't think PR worked. And she was saying, you know, I had an article in Stylist once, but, you know, I didn't get any pickup. And I emailed her back and said, you know, the thing about PR, it's like social media. You can't just like send one tweet out or one Facebook post and think that your whole business is going to like skyrocket. It's like you have to be, like you said, oh, we're on it every day. We buy all the magazines. We're like, you know, but that article was syndicated, so it was sold to other publications as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And but you were saying, you know, you weren't saying, oh, we sold loads of stuff, but actually we just got a big spike in traffic. And that's the first step, isn't it, in terms of, you know, sales. It's like getting people to your website and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's so many touch points before someone's going to go ahead with the sale or like buy whatever you're selling. So I think it's all about getting out to as many places as you can, like getting in the media, then making sure you're sharing on social media, then like doing, getting wherever you can, really getting on other people's blog posts, because it all like contributes to that raising of like visits to your site and then to the sales.
Yeah. And so what else have you done apart from that then? So that was a biggie. What other pitches have you done?
In Oxygen magazine, again, this was because we had like became kind of like friends and inverted commas, like on social media. Like we were just like, we think this is a really big part of our journey with getting the PR, was like making friends with people on social media, commenting on their photos, maybe resharing their posts, liking everything. And then Oxygen one day just emailed us and we're like, oh, we've seen you like commenting and we love all your recipes. We'd love to feature 5 of your recipes in our next month's magazine. We were like, what? Like, okay, like this is awesome. Here's all our high res imagery. You can use whatever you want in your magazine, because it's like, again, it's Australia wide print magazine. We got that magazine. It was like a 10 page spread of our recipes.
Wow.
And this was, again, just from building a relationship online. We didn't even know the journalist. We were just like having convos with her on Instagram.
Yeah, so that's kind of like another thing that we do, is like we'll be like, okay, where do we want to get our recipes in or our story in, or what do we, like where would our people be reading, sort of thing? Like what would they be reading? And then we can put our faces in that sort of print magazine or whatever it might be. So we'll contact them just on social media, which is just starting off with commenting and saying, you know, like enjoying their content, consuming their content,
sharing their content.
Yeah. And then we might go ahead and find the email address and like say something like, I loved this thing that you shared, or this article really helped us and we did this from it.
Yeah.
Our idea.
It's such good advice. And essentially what you're doing, I guess you're warming them up, aren't you? So that when you do send that email. And I was at a conference in Edinburgh the other day. I emailed my list about this actually, but I met this guy and with about 2 seconds, he said, oh, you need me to be your business coach. And and he was like really pushy. And he just kept going, oh yeah, you need this and you need to do that. And you know, I'm your man and whatever. And the minute he said that, I was just like, you're totally not my business coach. Like it was just,
it's like, go away.
Actually feel it, you know. I don't know about you, but if people are too pushy, kind of feel, I feel it like in my stomach. I just immediately felt, ooh. And there was another business coach there and she was like really nice and friendly and chatty and she wasn't trying to push her business. And I just thought, I like her. You know, if I was looking for a business coach, maybe I would consider her. And I think it's the same in the media, isn't it? It's like, you can't just kind of like bail in there and start like pitching.
Like they need to kind of get to know you and know your story and like you, I guess. So you need to be friendly. Like that's the thing. Like give them a compliment. Like tell them, like let them know how they've helped you, because people love to hear about that. Like we love hearing about that. So we just kind of treat them the way we want to be treated. From there, I guess another media coverage that we got was, we actually went on a reality TV show.
Oh, yes. Well, tell me more about this because I've seen this I'd love to know more.
It was called Recipe to Riches. And again, we kind of like, we were actually really excited by this idea because it's about submitting a recipe and then you have to kind of compete to get it into one of our biggest supermarkets over here in Australia. And so we got on the show and, well, actually I did. So Emma was like kind of in the intro story part about the Merrymaker
system. And how did you find out that they were looking for people for this show?
Gosh, I think they just, how did we find that out? We just applied for it.
I'm trying to think because we actually applied for My Kitchen Rules very early on in our, like when we first started and we got so close to getting through. But we got to the end and they were like, no, we're going ahead with these guys because there's two other sisters. And that was kind of like, thank God we didn't get picked because that show just destroys you. It destroys your image, especially like people like us. Like we can just imagine what they would have done, like portrayed us as like Carla the bitch who makes me cry all the time. So that was like a kind of like phew.
It was a blessing.
Yeah. But then I think someone might have emailed us about this show and said, you guys should apply.
Yeah. And then we were like, yeah, we should apply.
Because it's only one episode. So it was like not a big chunk of our lives out. And
Whereas My Kitchen Rules is about like an 8-week kind of filming sort of thing. So yeah, we just applied for it and we told our story. Again, I think they just loved the story of the sisters of the online business. They loved the fact that we were like, we can share this on our social media. Like you'll get more views and things to your TV show because TV, like let's admit, like it is dying. Like people are now so much more online. They're streaming their shows. Like they're not really going on TV as much. So they loved the fact that we did have this online presence as well. And that's, I think, why we got on the show. And then when I was competing on the episode, I didn't make it through. Like I only made it through to the first round. And then we used that as an excuse. Once it went live, we created a video and it was just me talking face to camera about my experience and saying like the things that I've learned and everything that kind of happened behind the scenes that they didn't actually see on TV.
Wow.
Because I knew that they wouldn't do that. So we created a YouTube video, shared that as soon as the episode was over. We got like 5,000 hits to our site that night. Our website crashed. Like that kind of just like happened overnight. So yeah, that was, again, was super interesting.
Yeah. And I like what you're doing there is that a lot often people get press coverage or they get some kind of exposure like you did and then they forget to like promote it, but you totally kind of worked it to your advantage. Yeah.
We do that with every single piece of content that's shared in the press about us. So what we'll do on Instagram is, you know, we'll get the magazine or the article and we'll do a pretty flat lay with like coffee and cake or whatever we have on hand, and we'll get like a really pretty shot and share it across social media. And it's like, even like the media outlet could share it as well, but also it just, again, it's like making people aware of like, oh, like we're good enough to be in the media. That raises profile. Like even if people don't buy that magazine, they're like, oh, they're in a magazine. Yeah. Like it just, it's a strange thing that like people's perceptions like of you when you are in the media, they just go up. I think.
It seems so egotistical, like when you do talk about it out loud, but it's so true. Even like for me as a consumer, if I see someone in a certain magazine, I'm like, oh wow, like, oh, they're in there now, or they're on that show. Like, oh, I must follow them more closely now because they're doing so well. So yeah, I think like the power of the media is just so amazing. Again, with that TV show, we pitched the story to our local newspaper the day before. And we were like, hey, we're going to be on this show. We can't tell you if we win or not, but like, we're going to be on the show. So you should do a story about us. And again, they came over, they did a photo. We made them the mousse, which was the recipe. So they got to try it. And then we ended up being on the radio the morning before or afterwards.
Afterwards.
Oh, this is, I can't even believe we forgot about this. What we did is we pitched to the radio that we have remade the recipe and made it so much better and we want the radio host to try it themselves.
Fantastic.
See if they like it. So we went on the radio and we talked about the mousse and like how we didn't get through, but we've remade the mousse and it's so much better. And you can find the recipe on our blog over at themerrymakersisters.com. So like we like totally like milked that for a whole week.
But also I love the fact that you thought about the medium. So you thought it was like radio, what would work really well for radio, actually getting him to taste it and talk about it online. You know, it's like different things work for different mediums. And also timing is really important there, that a lot of people, they make the mistake, I think, where if they were going to be on telly like you and they didn't know the outcome, they would wait until the
program had aired and then get in touch with the program and they put it out. And maybe that's old news, but like in terms of timing, I think you kind of gave them the chance to do something before, you know, to get it set up before it actually happened, which is great. And what else have you learned about timing? Because it's such an important thing, I think, when it comes to PR.
Yeah,
I think it's just like being aware of what's happening and getting on it fast. I think like the faster you can get your story to someone, the better. And I think like if you have an idea, sometimes you might need to sit on it for a little while for some reason, like you in the proposal. But I think like we're just like, if we have an idea and we have someone we want to contact, we're like, let's reach out to them. I think when you're like warming up to someone, like that can take a while. Like that could even take like months and months until you feel comfortable to approach them. Yeah. So I don't add any pressure on yourself, but also like don't wait too long because like all they can say is no, and that's fine. Yeah, like if they say no, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But I also want to add one other point. Because media is the best credibility on your website.
Yeah.
So like what we're doing our website up at the moment, but like putting the logos of the media outlets like on the front of your website, like that is just like that's gold as well. So making sure not only you don't, you know, you promote it to your people in the weeks after, but also like if you're in like an epic newspaper or magazine or TV show, put it on the front of your website.
Yeah, own it forever.
Yeah, own that forever. Even if it's like the tiniest of articles, like if you have like something, I don't even know what's like an epic, like I don't know what.
Huffington Post.
Put it on your site. Yeah, put the logo like on your site.
As featured in, I think that can be really good. And it's really interesting because I was talking to you before we got on the call. I've got a book coming out next month and I was writing a chapter about, you know, when I meet people and I say, oh, you know, I write for The Guardian and Huffington Post and I've been on this TV show or this radio show, everyone's always kind of really impressed. But then when I've been on a podcast or, you know, I pitch podcasts all the time and guest content and actually sometimes for me, I've been on podcasts where the reach has been better and I've done guest posts where the reach has been better. So I always try to encourage people, not the media's the sort of like the flashy stuff where you can put those nice badges on your site, but actually sometimes the stuff that might work just as well, if not sometimes better for your business, can be the kind of guest content. It sounds like that's something that's kind of worked for you as well.
I mean, this one story when we were on Pete Evans' Facebook page. Pete Evans, I don't know if you know of him in the UK. He's like a really big celebrity chef here in Australia and he follows a real food paleo lifestyle. He was collecting stories of like success stories from the paleo world and we just sent ours through and all he did was share it on his Facebook page and we got like 7,000 new people to our site from that one Facebook post.
Yeah, and then another one was our story shared on Mark's Daily Apple. So Mark Sisson is like the primal king sort of thing. He gets millions and millions of hits to his site all the time. So he shared our story. They do like personal stories every Friday. We sent ours through, got shared. I mean, within half an hour, we had like 1,000 new visits, like boom.
And that story continues to bring people.
We always get new people from that story, which is just awesome. So I think it's about like, it's just about having a brainstorm of like, where do you think your people are hanging out that haven't actually found you and then reaching out to them? I mean, like we actually went to Mark Sisson's conference in America. So we like had a great relationship with him because, you know, we hung out with him for like 3 days, got to know him. He was like, who are these crazy Australian sisters? So like, of course he was going to share our story because he knew us. So I think like going out and meeting people leads to amazing things like that.
100%. And the great thing is that it's evergreen. So as I said, like we're still getting people from that blog over to our site.
It's not like newspaper where it gets chucked.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. It's like, I think there's something really nice when you do a podcast post or or a guest post, is that you've kind of shared that together, haven't you? So you've kind of put your name sometimes, especially if you go in a big podcast or whatever, you kind of like, it's like evergreen content you've created together. And I think there's something really nice about that. And like, it's always there, isn't it? You know, people are always going to come and find it months later, years later. And I still share guest content that I created like a year ago or 18 months ago on my social media, and you can still get new pickup from that, which is great. And there was something else I wanted to pick up on was, you kind of touched on it earlier, and we talked about it actually before we got on the call, was about fear. Now, I said to you, I'm not going to say who it was because we'll see how it works out, but I said to you, oh, I've just pitched someone on a podcast that, and I'm at this, you know, I'm a little bit scared because I've been wanting to pitch this person for ages, but I've always felt like I'm not ready. And here's me, like, I'm like the pitching queen, but I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I just don't, not sure I'm ready. And I've done it and I'm really not sure. And, but I think all of us feel fear about pitching we feel that fear, you know, even, and I'm like a, quite a fearless pitcher, but I still think, oh, I'm not ready. Or maybe when I've done that, or maybe when I've achieved that, or maybe when I know more about this. What would you say about that kind of fear issue? Because it sounds like you're quite fearless and you just kind of go for it.
We always still feel the fear.
Oh my gosh, the fear. Every day the fear creeps back in, but we kind of just changed our perspective on fear itself. So we kind of look at it as our compass. So it's like, okay, I'm scared to pitch this idea to this big podcaster. Okay, being scared is a good thing because it probably means I'm out of my comfort, and that's where all the magic stuff happens. We've all seen those quotes, right? When you step outside your comfort zone, that's the zone you want to be in. So it's like, just do it, because really, you're not going to die. Nothing bad is going to happen. No one is going to, I don't know, like, no, nothing bad is going to happen. Like, literally.
We get so afraid that, like, something bad might happen from, like, taking a step outside of what we're used to. And it's like, well, actually, like, what's, instead of thinking about what's the worst that can happen, like, let's think about what's the best that can happen. What if they say yes? Then what? Like, what if? That's kind of the mindset that we think about. And for the no's that you do receive, just remember that every no is preparing you for your next biggest yes. Like, and so the no's, like, we kind of are like, yeah, they said no. What's going to happen next? We're going to get a good yes soon.
Yeah, and I think it's also been like, okay, like, that no is a blessing in disguise, because maybe I wasn't ready, or maybe my story is going to get even better and get even more traction and, like, better reaction. So it's like, okay, they said no, I'm going to try again in 6 months. Like, put a reminder in your calendar straight away so you don't forget. And just get disappointed for a little while. You're allowed. Like, get upset. Talk about it with your people, get support you need, and then move on. Because really, like, if you don't get a no, it just means we're not trying. Like, mistakes happen. We get no. It's a good thing, because it just means we're going outside, stepping outside our comfort zone.
Yeah, and I think every no you get usually gets you closer to your yes, because I always you know, get people to go back and have a look at their pitch. And sometimes it is absolutely nothing to do with you. Sometimes it is that they've just run something similar, or they've got something similar coming up, or it just doesn't float their boat, or they miss it or whatever. But often there is something in your pitch, and when you go back and look at it, you're like, ah, okay, well, maybe it was that. Or maybe they'll even give you a little bit of feedback and they'll tell you why it's a no. And I always think that's, I mean, when I say my coaching students, like, they get really excited when they get a no, because I don't know what it's like in the Australia, but in the UK, it's very competitive to get in the press. And generally, particularly with the nationals, like, journalists just ignore people generally. So if you get a reply that says, this is not one for us, is the phrase they always use, that usually means that whatever you've pitched is kind of fairly sensible. It's just, you know, for some reason, you know, because generally you get ignored. And I think it's always an opportunity to learn and to go back. And usually there's something to learn from it. And there's just one last thing I wanted to ask you on that, or just a point really I wanted to make, that it's about that relationship thing. I mean, I feel sometimes like I'm like banging on about this ad nauseum, because I run events, you know, and I've got this event, big event I'm running in London with these 8 national journalists next month in July. And then I run these monthly sessions in London. And I say to people sometimes, I think you're mad, like, it's really bad. So you're mad for not coming to this. Like, you've got a chance to sit in a room with this, like you said about Mark, you know, you've got a chance to sit in a room with this journalist, to go up and just kind of have a chat with them, and not anything big or pitching. You just, like, say to them, you know, what sort of things are you looking for? Like, what does a good pitch look like? What does a bad, you know? And I know from my students that I've worked with, when they've come along to networking events and they've met journalists, it's just so much easier when you do have a pitch. Or often, you know, when you meet somebody and you look them in the eye and you just kind of, like, have a relationship with them, it's just so much easier, isn't it? And I just kind of wanted to, like, make that point, because you were saying how you, was it Mark from Daily Apple that you said you went? And have you sort of, is that something that's kind of happened with other media stuff that you've got, you've been building relationships?
Well, I mean, like, we've met Pete Evans, and, like, I'm sure that has helped.
We one of his, like, he did a national tour, and we got invited to speak at his event. Like, again, that just happened from us like commenting on his Facebook page, being active, like online and offline. And like that is definitely probably our biggest message, like to do with any media, is just be proactive. And it doesn't have to even be an email. It can simply be commenting on their Instagram to start off with, commenting on their Facebook, sharing their stuff, like kind of just getting in their faces a little bit. And then they will start to recognize you. And then you can just take it the next step further, the next step further. If they run an event, go to the event, meet them, tell them about you. Like, yeah, people love to hear when you've helped others. So I think that going to an event and saying, hey, you really helped me do this and I'm so grateful, that like is so priceless. Yeah.
And I mean, nothing beats meeting someone face to face. So it's like, I mean, if you can make that first sort of meeting a memorable one, even if it's not memorable, even if it's just like connecting and like meeting and like having like a 5-minute conversation where they're like, oh, you're a really nice person, I dig what you're doing, like I get your story now, I get it. Like they're going to be more likely to be like, oh, like if they have an idea for a story, they might be like, oh, I know this person. I met this person who definitely could contribute this quote or like this idea. So it's like,
you're going to be so much more likely to say yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think you just got to be brave enough to ask, haven't you? Because I was at this Content Marketing Academy event in Edinburgh, and Amy Schmittauer was speaking there, and she'd been a guest on my podcast, and I thought, I've got to go up and say, hi, you know, nice to meet you in person. And then I just said to her, would you go live in my Facebook group with me? And she's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's great. And obviously, you know, and I think you just have to, you have to kind of test the waters, but she seemed really friendly. And I'd already did this podcast interview. And I thought, well, this could offer some value to my community. And Anne Handley was there, who's a big content marketing lady. And I wanted to ask her on my podcast, but I said to somebody that was next to me, I was like, I actually feel a bit nervous about going up, but you know, how can I talk about all the things that I talk about if I'm not willing just to walk up to her and say, hi, I really enjoyed your talk, and is there any chance that you might do this? And I did it, and she said yes. And often, you know, the fear is just like, oh my God, you know, I mean, what is the worst that can happen? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say no, it will be rude to me, or very occasionally, but you've just got to go for it, haven't you?
Totally. And like, that was like us at Tropical Think Tank. Like we asked so many speakers to come on our podcast and they all said yes. Yeah. Like they're all like, yeah, like email me, like blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Some of them were like, I don't normally say yes, but because you asked, like, I'm going to say yes. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You've just got to take the bull by the horns, haven't you?
Exactly.
And one last thing I wanted to ask you about, because I'm aware we've gone over time. We always go over time. I was thinking of things that I want to ask, but just a bit about your business, because you've recently, well, first of all, you've got a massive Instagram following, and it'd be great just for you to quickly say how you've done that, because I know lots of my listeners are interested in that. But also your membership community, which you've just launched, and just a little bit about that, you know, and how things are going in your business.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Instagram was where it all began. That was when Carla just started sharing the photos. We were getting organic followers, people just genuinely interested in what we were doing. And like we followed the traction. So that was working. So we kept on doing it. And it's all just about being consistent, making sure you're actually on there sharing great content. I mean, it's very visual. So making sure the images are good images, and then also connecting and collaborating with other people in your niche or like parallel to your niche as well, like, and just, I don't know, like, just it's all about just being consistent and being on there and also engaging with your community as well. So like writing back to comments, and then of course like sharing that great content. I mean, if you share great content, you're going to get the following, and like just being active, I think that's the number one thing.
Yeah, I think one great thing about our Instagram is like we love to share like our followers' content as well. So we really promote like use our hashtag, like share your Merrymaker recipes and blah, blah, blah. And people want to do that because they see us resharing our followers' content and saying, oh, wow, this amazing brownie from this person, like thanks for the photo. So I think again, like that, like making it, like I know you can have really curated Instagram accounts. They look bloody amazing. Like when you look at their feed, they look just stunning. But we kind of see Instagram as more as that community builder, that we don't mind if the photo isn't like the most perfect white flat lay that like.
And if it doesn't get hundreds and hundreds of likes, it's just like we just want to make it really real. Like I know Instagram can be like this kind of fake world, but we're just like, we're going to share the content we want to share. And if it's not like a perfect photo, whatever.
Yeah.
And with our club, Merrymaker Club has just been like the most fun And I mean, like, we've just learned so much with creating this online membership, and it's all just about living healthier and happier. It's where we share our monthly meal plans. We also share mindset tips and like monthly modules to just like remind everyone to bring more joy to their lives.
Yeah. So the reason we created a membership club was because we started off with this 4-week challenge, and the challenge was really successful. It was like a 4-week meal plan. We all did it live together. And we did that twice, but we realized that it was very much like launch, 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 and this spike of energy, not only for us, but also the people involved. And then it was like nothing. And then it was again, launch, 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 this spike of energy. So we wanted to make something that was more consistent for us. That was more like, we're here for the long run. It's not just a 4-week, you do this and then you forget. Like Merrymaker Club is like making changes for life. And that's kind of what we've created. And people are absolutely loving it. We're loving creating the content in there. So yeah, it's going to be really great. And I think the best thing about the club is that we can also repurpose like all the recipes that we're creating in there. We're actually turning into a hard copy book. So that's going to be our next book. So these are all like opportunities to share in the media. Like we're now thinking of ways that we can think of sharing things about our podcast, about our club. Like what's the angle there? How can we share that in the media, and how can we create a story around that? So I think like, yeah, whatever we do in our business, we're always looking for angles that we can kind of like create a story around it.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. You've been brilliant. All the stuff that you shared is going to be so useful. And where can we find you if we want to know more about you?
Yeah, well, everything is over at themerrymakersisters.com, and we're also over at the Merry Biz podcast.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to go to bed now, but you two are just starting your day, aren't you?
We yes. are. Thank you so much for having us, Janet. It was so much fun.
Thanks, Janet.
Brilliant.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not head over to my Facebook group? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.